the service this morning, that sunrise service. So thank you for those coming, communion then, and a good time. Time to reflect on what Jesus did today. Again, thanks for Maundy Thursday. We had a good time there, good readings, and as Wanda said, appreciate everybody who worked to put that together. There was a lot of effort put into that, and appreciate all that was done. I heard from more than one that they appreciated it, really enjoyed it, and got a lot out of it. So thankful for that. So good breakfast this morning too. A lot of food over there. So
this is my call.
Not early, you missed it. Good breakfast. So I know who was there. I'm watching.
I don't think you're on.
Ron, hello, 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 is that better? Nope, nope. That, hey, hey, God, I'll move it up a little bit. Probably got them both going, messing it all up now, but so I know if I see eyes closed, some people said they would be in prayer for me. But not that I don't trust you, but see the head going like that, I'm going to know better. So, but no, appreciate a lot of food, so thankful for that. It was good fellowship. So, we're going to talk about Jesus, obviously, today. We're going to be in Mark 26. We're going to start out verses 36 through 46 this morning. Jesus, you know, he was fully God and fully man. And, you know, he had struggles just like we do, you know. He came out of it still perfect. You know, he made all the right choices. He made all the right decisions. He was obedient, even in his humanity. And we see a place, I know it's Easter, but I can't go to Easter without starting in Gethsemane. I think it was a real battle that took place there. There was a big victory that took place right there. And so we're going to start there. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to him, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We just again ask the Holy Spirit to make an impact today. Make an impact on the hearts today, Lord. Just help to open our eyes, to clear our minds, to only see, only hear what you have us to hear. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Gethsemane, I think, is where it started. Gethsemane means olive press or oil press. It's a place of crushing. And that's where Jesus was. He said it's in his humanity. He says his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. You know, it says he fell to the ground and he prayed, "Abba, Father." Abba's the term dad, daddy. "Abba, Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." You know, Jesus was certainly open. He knew what was coming. And he was certainly open, "Is there another way? I'm not trying to get out of it. But there's another way we can do it and achieve the same results. Is there another way? And again, because he knew what was ahead for him. You know, he knew what was ahead physically. He knew what was ahead emotionally. And I'm afraid he knew what was ahead spiritually that was going to be laid on him. You know, the cup is the wrath and judgment of God. That's the cup he was going to take. It's going to end in the absence of God. The absence of God. They found his disciples asleep. So it says, watch and pray. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was a human as well, just like you and I. He had choices to make. He prayed a second time, Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. You know, sometimes when things don't go our way or don't see the answers, the answer is not to pray, the answer is to pray harder. Pray harder. And we see he did. He prayed with passion. We see in other ones that the harder he prayed, that, you know, his sweat glands ruptured, drops of blood fell. And we know that's can happen to people they found under extreme stress. Like those going for execution, death row inmates can actually, blood come out of the pores under extreme stress. And he was under extreme stress. He was still a man too. Not just a guy, but he was a man. You know, do we submit and pray in God's will or our will? You know, he asked for it to be God's will every time. Are we asleep? You know, do we just give up? Do we set prayer aside? Do we just are asleep in this world? Are we asleep spiritually? You know, are we not prepared when a crisis comes? You know, if we're not prayed up, if we're not close in our relationship, when hard things come, we're not ready. We're not in a position where we should be. We're not in a position of faith and trust. So he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't let Jesus find us sleeping. You know, prayers are to be continual. He says, pray continually. They're going to be all the time. Be a continual state of realizing God is there with you. God is there next to you. And we should pray with passion. It shouldn't just be, if you got time, you know, handle this if you can. You know, we got to know he will. And he wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to be there. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pray to him. We say he prayed a third time, let the cup be taken, but as God will. So three times he went back and prayed that God's will be done. And we see an angel attended to him to strengthen him. He was needed strength for what he was going to go through. So God said no. God said no, there is no other way. This is the only way. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, I am the only way, that's the truth. You know, others just say, all these religions are all the same. They all come back to the same place. And no, they don't. No, they don't. They don't have Jesus as a risen Savior to come back to. But Jesus met his disciples when the soldiers were arriving. He said, rise, let's go. So he chose God's will. He chose to be obedient. And he had a choice. I think a big battle was won over Satan there, because I think Satan was there the whole time saying, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Not many liked you when you were here. Over these past 33 years, not many cared for you. They tried to kill you then. What are you going to do this for? But I think he knew as God's will, he knew what it was for. So he did it anyway. in that garden, he made a decision, your will be done. Now, Adam was in the garden too. Adam had a choice. His choice was, my will be done. He made the choice to do what he wanted. Jesus made the choice in the garden to do what God wanted, to be obedient. And we know he went through all the illegal trials. I'm not going to go through all of that, but the illegal trials, the false witnesses, the beatings, the mockings that he took, the floggings that he took. Again, he didn't have to go through it. He didn't have to. He had a choice. He could have said no, but he gave himself over to it. He was put through that for us. He said he could have called legions of angels, but he didn't. He went through it. He gave himself. He took it from the Romans. He took it from the chief priests. He took it from the elders. He took it from all those that were hailing him as king just a few days ago, asking for salvation, crying out for salvation. Save us, save us. He even took it from one on the cross beside him. Now, how can we at our vulnerable times not believe? You know, even on the cross, he showed compassion and love for others. He asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, he prayed for those who were crucifying him as they nailed his hands and his feet. He prayed for them. And he provided for his mother by giving her John. This is your mother, this is your son. He wanted her to be taken care of. He knew what she was going through. He even provided for one on the cross beside him. He recognized him and asked to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me. Again, on each side, one had a choice. Two, they both had choices. One chose to give him a hard time for not saving him from this life. They wouldn't trust him for the next. Jesus said, you'll be with me. So as long as we're breathing in this life, God's reaching out to offer the gifts. He wants us to come. He's waiting to give it to us. He's just waiting for us to ask for it and to receive it. We see some of his last moments on the cross. Matthew 27, 45 and 46 said, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we see the kind of the way it goes here. My God, why have you forsaken me? And pretty soon, he ends with, it is finished. You know, Jesus still has the love of God, the trust in God. He still has the obedience to God. He still is my God. You know, use the word my. He's still my God. No matter what's happening, he's still my God. He's still the God of his life. You know, why have you forsaken me? Well, he knew why. But now is at the point of taking on all the sin of mankind. You know, a perfect, holy Son of God taking on the sin which he hates. God hates sin. Jesus was a deity too. He hated sin. But he was treated as guilty for all of us. He took it on. And sin divides. Sin separates. Sin causes spiritual death. You know, I think we see sin dividing in lives, the families, in lives of couples, in lives of in lives of churches, lives of bodies of believers. Sin still separates. Sin still divides. Devil's good at that. Devil's good at division. It's what he tries to do. He can't beat us if we're together. The division gives him the opening. Separation gives him a chance. And sin causes spiritual death. All of us are spiritually dead until we accept Jesus in our life. The minute we're born, we're still spiritually dead. Adam caused that. But Jesus today gave us a new opportunity, a new way, a new life. You know, sin separates us, separated Adam from God. They used to walk together, and they didn't. You know, Adam had to leave. Couldn't be in God's presence. And it separates us from God the same way. We lose out of his presence. You know, a sacrifice had to restore the relationship. You know, it wasn't the pain I don't think Jesus was dealing with, although he was in tremendous pain and suffering. It was a separation from God and his holiness when Jesus took on the sin of every person. The price had to be paid to restore what was lost. You know, God's the judge. Everybody will be judged. Jesus was the sacrifice and treated as a sacrifice. Although the perfect one, the perfect sacrifice. I think Jesus felt that separation from God for those moments that he took on sin that we didn't take. He took on the sin in place of us. So he had that separation. And he knew why. He knew why, because shortly later he said, it's finished. It's paid in full. I did what I come to do. You know, the full cup of God's wrath was drunk by him. You know, he accepted all of God's wrath and judgment that was tended for each of us. You know, we'll taste of the cup, but we won't drink it like he did. We won't take the fullness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God always had a plan. You know, he had a plan from the beginning. The moment Adam failed, there was a plan in Genesis that he came to fruition with Jesus. We see other things. We see in the veil of the Holy and Holies torn, top to bottom, in a way only God could do. I don't think we realize how massive that was, made in one piece, especially torn top to bottom. It was only something God could do. But that opened the way for God for everyone. It wasn't just the priest. It wasn't just certain ones that could go in there. Everybody could if they went to the Lord. Everybody had the opportunity for a relationship. It was also signed in the sacrifices. You don't have to do these anymore. You know, they only pointed to now. They only pointed to the sacrifice that was made right now. The perfect one. All of those were imperfect. They could not actually save. They just pointed to the one that could. Because of the presence of God, forgiveness of sin was made available by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. You know, the earth quaked. You know, signs of judgment, rock split, you know, even bodies of many saints were raised alive. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the city. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then saints will follow. And that was exactly what happened then. He was the first one and the saints followed. That's a sign of our resurrection as well. Someday for those who believe him. We see Jesus was taken down and put into a guarded empty tomb. sealed over by a large stone. The disciples are distraught. They don't know what to do. They're confused. You know, this wasn't what they had in mind either. You know, they thought he was going to be around. They thought he was going to lead them. He's gone. Now what do we do? Well, they had forgotten all the things he told them up to this point. They were caught up in the now. You know, they had been asleep and kind of not prayed up about things that were going to happen. They didn't remember about the temple being rebuilt in 3 days and all the things he told them would happen and why. But he had told them what was exactly going to happen. He said he was going to prepare a place for them. He told them about the Holy Spirit coming. But again, the focus was on now and not the eternal. And we do that as well. We get hung up on today, the problems of today, and not the big picture. You know, we have troubles. We lose loved ones and grieve over them and consider things in this life. But believers know this isn't the end. Because of today, there's another chapter in our life. And how we get through it if we thought all was lost. If this was the end, there was no more. I'm going to go to Matthew 28. And then we're going to have an invitation after that. Matthew 28, the first 8 verses. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So the tomb's empty. You know, the rock was rolled away. The door was open. You know, our Savior's risen. Jesus' resurrection ended eternal death. It changed it. It's the solution to evil. It's the solution to suffering. You know, our life here has meaning, but not just for now. Our life has meaning for eternity. Because victory over death was assured today when Jesus rose. Because we can have that same. There's no fear of death for believers. There's no fear. Earthly blessings are just a taste of what's to come. It's going to be so much better. So much more. Jesus was both God and man. During his humanity, by his sacrifice, he saves anyone who chooses to believe in him from the wrath of God that we deserve. His deity overcame death and allows us to live forever with him in eternity. He lives and so can we. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we talked a little bit this morning about the eclipse that's coming. Just to reiterate a little bit of that, you know, the eclipse is coming on the 8th, and it's going to be, you know, it's a big deal, obviously, because people have made a lot of plans. A lot of money, a lot of plans, a lot of hotels to come to Indiana, along with some other states. About a, heard him say about 500,000 people will be in Indiana for the eclipse. That's a, we don't realize what that is, the eclipse, something special. You know, the sun's going to be blocked out for a period of time and then come back. And, you know, and I grant him that, again, the time is going to be about 2 hours and 33 minutes. You know, this, by the time it starts to the time it's completely over, it's about 2.5 hours. Roughly in our neck of the woods, about 1:50 p.m. to 4:23 p.m. It's from the extreme beginning to the actual completion. You know, the actual total eclipse, which is what people are looking for, you know, when it's going to turn dark, is going to be 3 minutes and 15 seconds. So we're having 3 days of festivals.
Wow.
We're traveling, we're spending money, we're making a big deal out of 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Between 3:06 and 3:09 p.m., you can see some darkness. You know, can you imagine, you know, the crucifixion, the skies were darkened for 3 hours. I'm guessing it was a sunny day to begin with. So the crucifixion went in for 3 hours of darkness. It's not 3 minutes, 3 hours. And the 3 minutes we have, it's in the middle, around 3:06 to 3:09. Well, Christ said, it is finished. A little after 3 p.m. on that day, it was finished. So we see the sun. You know, the sun's going to shine, and there's going to be a period when darkness comes. And then it's going to be back out again. You know, we're going to see that on April the 8th. But then it's going to be over. Well, like I said, it's, you know, what's it going to leave you? Like I said, the only thing, as I mentioned this morning, the only thing is going to leave an impression on you if you looked at it without the glasses on. Then you're going to remember it as it burns your retinas. But other than that, it's going to be gone. You're going to forget about it. But, you know, Jesus came. The sun came out. You know, in the future, there's going to be a dark period of time. There's going to be 7 years of darkness. And then the sun's coming out again. He's going to return. So he's risen today so that we can all be risen and be resurrected for us. That's what he did for us. He died for us. He rose for us. That's what we celebrate today. We have a Savior that's alive. Anybody else that they mention as being the leader of their religion, is they're dead. The tomb is still full. There's still somebody there. But not Jesus' tomb. It's empty. He's not there. He's in heaven with the Father interceding for us. So I'm going to have an invitation song. If you wish to come up, that's great. But just want you to consider, you know what, today, the sun, our sun comes up every day. Every day. Just keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father, we